Sometimes I remember in kindergarten, my favorite course was show and tell. I was pretty good at it. Oh, okay. Whatever you all think. Well, I have show and tell today. I'm holding this morning a coin of the Roman Empire. Unfortunately, it's rather small and you are spread out rather far and wide. But you'll have to take my word for it. On one side is the bust of the Caesar. This coin is much like the coin in today's story. Despite their flattering words, the Pharisees and the Herodians were trying to trap Jesus, to force him into a no-win situation. Consider now the circumstances. The Jews of Jesus' time are living under the iron boot of the brutal Roman Empire, which filled the whole known earth with its idolatry. Patriotic Jews longed to throw off the tyrant's yoke. They prayed for a Mashiach, a Messiah, an anointed one, who would free them from the Romans as David had freed the Jews from the Philistines 900 years earlier. Any Jew advocating collaboration with the Romans could not possibly be the hoped for Messiah. No, that person would appear to be a traitor. On the other hand, anyone preaching resistance to Rome would be branded an enemy of the empire and would wind up hung from a cross. So the Pharisees decided to put Jesus on the spot in front of the crowd. They asked him a question, bound to get him into trouble one way or the other. They asked, "Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor, the Caesar, or not?" First of all, Jesus teaches us how to deal with a bogus theological question. He unmasks it for what it is, an effort to trip him up rather than an inquiry proceeding from a sincere desire to know the truth. And then, rather than letting himself be manipulated, Jesus takes charge of the conversation and he puts the Pharisees on the spot. So, Jesus answers a question with a question. Whose head is on that coin that you have in your pocket, the coin that you use to pay for the temporal necessities of life, the things of this world? Well, they responded, Caesar's. And indeed, they were right. Next, Jesus says something that makes them think, much like he did with the men eager to stone the woman who was caught in adultery in the Gospel of St. John, the 8th chapter. So Jesus says, then give to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, but give to God the things that are God's. Jesus wins the battle. He transforms an attempt to make him look bad into a teaching moment recorded for all all time, providing people of every era, every generation, with some very important food for thought. Now, my friends, if you didn't know this already, government is a fact of life. Rulers, laws, police, taxes, politicians, elections. What should a Catholic Christian make of these things? Well, when it comes to politicians, St. Paul gives us a bit of wisdom. He says that we need to pray for all those in authority. And you go, "Dear Lord, please not." So we turn to Jesus. Pray for your enemies and those who persecute you. Sometimes that's how it feels when we pray for our politicians. One thing Jesus points out to the Pharisees is that they participate in a societal infrastructure. They don't live on a deserted island, but are dependent upon the Roman imperial system for everything from the food in the marketplace to protection from the common thieves in the street. Sort of like a story I heard recently of a rural community here in the United States. They celebrated the fact that they had declared their independence from the larger community after seceding from the nearby township and what they considered its inordinate taxes. Everything went well for about a week. Then they were unpleasantly surprised when the town trash trucks failed to show up in their area. You secede, be prepared for the trash to pile up. Jesus says, you can't have it both ways. If we benefit from secular society, we need to support the infrastructure of society. This can take the form of dreaded taxes, military service, jury duty, and informed, conscientious voting. On the other hand, Jesus says that we need to give to God the things that are God's. You know, this is the real punchline of the story. For indeed, God has given us everything. In fact, it is He who raises up kings and princes. It's hard to believe, and even politicians sometimes, and nations. And through them, He provides for us, for the common good. The Lord used the Babylonians in 586 BC. Now, I promise you, I was not there. But, you know, this whole pandemic has caused us to lose our spark here, folks. We're going to try that one more time. The Lord used the Babylonians in 586 BC. Now, I wasn't there, but there you go, to punish the stubborn disobedience of the kingdom of Judah. But when the time of exile was completed, God used the pagan Persian king, Cyrus, to break the stranglehold of Babylon and allow his chosen people to return home. The prophet Isaiah, in today's Old Testament lesson, even calls this Cyrus the unbeliever, the Messiah, the anointed one, because God was able to use him for his good, for capital H-I-S, his good. But there are also times when political rulers, leaders, overstep their authority. Sometimes they demand to be worshiped, like Caesar did. Other times they attack human dignity, violating natural law, which demands that innocent human life, indeed all human life, from conception to the moment of natural death, be respected, and that all liberties must be protected. These are the times when Catholic Christians have a duty to insist that while Caesar is owed his due, we won't stand by and silently watch him step on our toes or the innocent toes or God's toes. So as Election Day approaches, we must all remember and say our prayers diligently and do our homework in order for us to render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God's. Amen. And now,